This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. Been a wonderful show already. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. More than any other show over the last couple of weeks, I've just been watching Mraz and Bilotti crack up throughout the entire show behind the glass. And I'm pretty sure that's a good indicator that this has been one of the funnier shows we've had. That's saying something. But as I always like to say, if we can make you think and make you laugh at least once a day, we've done our job, because I know how hard it is sometimes when you turn on the radio or turn on the TV or turn on your phone to start scrolling. There's all this bad news. I'm thankful you have come to us for hopefully some laughs and some good times this holiday season. And I think this hour it'll continue. We will re-rack number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas, where some are calling it already the biggest upset, because it should be much higher than number 12. But just remember, we've got a lot of DAs to go, and you've just got to wait and watch, because I think this list is our most thorough, most explosive, greatest list of 12 we've ever had. I really believe that. And so we will re-rack number 12 for you coming up here at approximately 15 minutes from now. But we just finished off last hour talking about Jay Gruden's conversation on his conference call about bringing in instead of Colin Kaepernick as the backup to Mark Sanchez, as Washington's hit the skids late season, trying to desperately hold on to a playoff spot and win the NFC East. But now knowing that Alex Smith and Colt McCoy are done for the year. Done for the day. So instead of bringing in Kaepernick, they bring in Jashanshish, who was drafted or allocated to the San Diego Fleet of the AAF. Let's talk about the Washington standpoint here. Do I believe, as Jay Gruden said, that they kicked the tires on the idea of Kaepernick, but they ultimately decided not to go in that direction because it was too late in the season to get him up to speed? Or is this just a convenient excuse not to bring in Kaepernick? I will honestly tell you, while I think it's ridiculous and insincere and hypocritical that Colin Kaepernick does not have a job to this point in time in the NFL, I also believe Jay Gruden. I do believe Jay Gruden. I think if you've got Colin Kaepernick on your roster, knowing he hasn't played in years, knowing he hasn't run an NFL offense or any offense in years, I think picking him up off the street in December as a backup the last couple of weeks of the season is a huge risk. And as Gruden said in the conference call, it's different if this is week one and we can get him assimilated to everything that we need to do over the course of a season. And for that, I agree. For that, I believe him. Now, call me naive, but I believe him. I certainly think that an element to this is the juice isn't worth the squeeze, that you bring in Kaepernick and you run the risk of polarizing your fan base and becoming a soap opera and you bring in just Jancic, and nobody blinks. Nobody even knows who he is or where he's been or what he's doing or where he's going. So there's an element of this where, boy, that's a big cost to bring in a backup quarterback the final month of the season because you know some people will be upset, and you could put yourself in the middle of a presidential tweet storm. And so I get it. However, Washington loses credibility on that front because they decided to sign Reuben Foster. So they were okay going down that road. But that's why I believe at least a part of this is what Jay Gruden says. You bring in a guy off the street for the final 4 weeks of the season, this is a big risk that he could even pick up the offense, let alone where is he athletically hitting the field running in December. I want to read to you from a piece done by our Washington affiliate, 106.7 The Fan, by my friend Craig Hoffman, who we have had here on the show before, who covers Washington football on a daily basis. And he writes, Gruden's points do have some merit. While the concepts in the offense are similar, and Kaepernick have shown the ability to execute them in extended stretches in his career, the verbiage Gruden uses is a more than valid limiting factor. The style parts of Gruden's comments hold less water, though. Kaepernick's an inconsistent passer, but his inconsistencies are not much different than the other quarterbacks they considered. He's just a much better and more willing runner. Craig's conclusion was it shouldn't matter in a short season scenario with the playoffs within reach. Every option should be considered because there are no good options. There's no great quarterback sitting around waiting to be signed in December. And so his point is, yeah, verbiage is a limiting factor here. Familiarity with this offense, hitting the ground running in December, but is Josh Johnson, a better option than Kaepernick? The answer is probably not. Johnson has some familiarity with a Gruden offense, having played within a Gruden offense a couple of times in his career. But in this element, if you're looking for a potential home run to save your playoffs season, I don't know if Johnson is actually a better option than the risk, the quote-unquote risk, of Kaepernick. But in this case, I'm not going to kill Washington. I'm not going to kill Jay Gruden because I think there's some validity here. If I'm going to go down the road of Colin Kaepernick, I want it early in the season. I want to make sure where he is athletically is only going to continue throughout that season, conditioning-wise, familiarity, all of that type of stuff. And I want a longer breath with him instead of trying to get him a crash course into my system in mid-December. I think it's ludicrous he doesn't have a job. As we see, garbage quarterbacks, trash quarterbacks, trotted out every week. Every week, there's worse quarterbacks than Kaepernick. And the kneeling controversy has quieted down, and Eric Reed got a job. So I think it's utterly lame that Kaepernick does not. However, in this case, I believe in Jay Gruden, or I believe Jay Gruden's comments. I understand them, and I'm not going to criticize Washington for not bringing in Kaepernick here. The Golden State Warriors must be the most delusional team known to man. They must be. There's no other excuse for this. There's no other reason to come down on than they are lack all self-awareness. Are they an amazing team? Yes. Are they the rightful champions? Obviously. Are they going to win a championship again this year? Even despite their early season problems? More than likely. But my problem with the Warriors is not their greatness. It is that they think they're great because they're individually working harder than everybody else. Or they're smarter than everybody else. Instead of just admitting, hey man, we're the best because we have stacked the deck talent-wise. You've got to admit that. If you can't, you're delusional, and you're self-involved and you're stubbornly defiant for no reason. Knowing that the Warriors come into Cleveland tonight to take on the Cavaliers, and the Warriors, once again, one of the best teams in basketball, the best team in basketball despite their early struggles, Cavaliers being one of the worst. Klay Thompson looked back on the NBA Finals in 2016 that they lost to the Cavs and said, "Oh yeah, ha, that was funny. Look at how that turned out." And he's citing the Halloween party after the June 2016 Finals where they had tombstones and tombstone cookies of Warriors players of the Cavaliers party. "Look how that turned out. Psh, bums. That was crazy. Look at what pettiness gets you. Gets you 1-8 in the finals, idiots." Look, if Klay Thompson thought that that was a cheap shot, that they had cookies as tombstones with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry's name on it, fine. Fine. You don't have to love that. I would remind Klay Thompson that as you guys won 73 games that year, you shimmied on everybody's face. Up 50, Steph Curry hits a three-pointer from mid-court, and there's a shimmy. There's a dance. I mean, Steph Curry pantomimed taking a you-know-what on the floor, on the court, in a game. But we're going to get all hot and bothered how other teams trash talk and say that that's lowbrow. Okay, I get it. You got two different definitions of what's cool and what's not cool in terms of trash talk. Again, that's where the Warriors lose me, is that they dance on everybody. They shimmy on everybody. They trash talk on everybody. But the moment the Cavaliers have a Halloween party that make fun of the Warriors, suddenly, oh man, they're bums. They're classless. They're petty. Man, same thing could be said about you. Number two, definition of why the Cavaliers went 1-8 over the next two NBA finals against you, why they were dispatched in 4-1 and 5 of the other, actually has nothing to do with pettiness. It has to do with you adding a primetime, sublime, Hall of Fame caliber scorer and player, one of the two or three best players of the NBA, to an already stacked roster that had just won 73 flipping games. See, this is where I love the Warriors. It is, man, you see that? We're all about team. They're all about pettiness. That's what that gets you. Bums. Idiots. No. What you guys did was stacked the talent deck so dramatically, nobody could touch you. And this is where the Warriors are problematic, because they don't realize the forest through the trees. I think Steve Kerr does. Kerr has referenced how easy it has been and how charmed an existence they have had. But the Warriors don't get, yeah, you're great. But you're great because the deck is stacked for you. I'm not telling Klay Thompson not to enjoy this ride. I'm not telling Steph Curry or Draymond Green not to be prideful that they were on the team before the championships and then were on the team after the championships. And I'm not saying the Warriors front office shouldn't be prideful that they drafted these guys and developed these guys. But over the last two seasons, let's not get it twisted. The Warriors won championships because the deck was stacked in their favor. DA, they still got to go out and play the games. Well, yeah. But if the varsity takes on the JV, varsity still has to play the games, but you would all say, well, the deck is stacked. It's professional basketball. They're all paid. It's not the same, and you know it. And we all do these little mental games about the Warriors to make us feel better about ourselves. I talk about this constantly because it would be really depressing if we just woke up and realized the truth. The deck is stacked for the Warriors against everybody else. And they should win every title easily, and that there is no drama in the season. And we do these little games of, oh my God, look, the Warriors are losing games. Oh, and the Warriors were pushed to seven games by the Rockets. And who knows if Chris Paul doesn't get injured. And they were on the ropes. We play these games because we want it to matter, because if it doesn't matter, because if the deck is stacked, sports becomes no fun, and everything else in life is no fun. And the last thing we want is sports to be no fun. This is like how Patriots fans fight me tooth and nail about how the AFC East being the dregs of society doesn't help them win the division and win playoff games and win the Super Bowl. And they cite the win percentage against other divisions and the win percentage in the playoffs and yada, yada, yada. And what they don't realize is, because it would blow up their spot, is that those 5 or 6 wins a year against some of the worst coaches and worst quarterbacks and worst teams of the league helps them out the other weeks. But if you say that and admit that, then it blows up the greatness and their joy and their pride in the Patriots. So you can't say that, because then it diminishes the greatness, and then suddenly their whole self-worth is gone. Because then what do when you stare truth in the face? Truth in the face is the Patriots are helped every week because they play the worst division in football. So they're helped against the Vikings last week. They're helped against the Steelers in a couple of weeks. They were helped against the Chiefs earlier in the season. It all factors in, but that truth is too hard, because then that means taking something that you believe in so strongly and having to diminish it. It's like having your dad be your hero growing up and then realizing after he passes away, oh my God, he was a womanizer. And so the truth for the Warriors is, are they a beautiful basketball team to watch? Yes. Do they deserve credit as a modern dynasty? Of course. But the deck is stacked for them. No matter what last year against the Rockets told you, the deck is stacked for them more than any other team throughout NBA history, dating back, maybe you have to go back into the 60s Celtics, where they rip off 8 in a row. That's the last time we saw a deck stacked this dramatically for one team against all opponents. And the fact that Klay Thompson cites Cavaliers' pettiness as the reason, I mean, please. Again, truth is hard. When we come back here on the show, the 12 DAs of Christmas, we re-rack number 12 as the countdown begins in full. What would you call multiple deer? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The best and the worst rejoiner ever. As we always like to say around here, the moistest show on radio, the DA. CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
Remember to follow us on our social media channels. Go to Facebook.com/TheDA Show. The best of video clips are up there every single day. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. We post the best of videos there. Also on YouTube, you'll be able to see the best video clips of the show as well. And follow me on Instagram. I'll give you behind the scenes on Instagram stories of the show, and that's at Damon Amendo. Joe tweets, Hogwash DA, the Warriors built that team through the draft outside of KD. Not their fault they played within the rules. Hashtag Dub Nation. See, this is what I'm talking about. Nobody said it was against the rules. And everybody knows they built the team before KD through the draft. But before KD, they were beatable. After KD, they were unbeatable. And that's the fact. The fact, Jack, in their first NBA Finals against LeBron and the Warriors, LeBron had a 2-1 series lead, and his second best player was Matthew Dellavedova because Love and Kyrie were both injured. In year number 2, obviously, was when the Warriors did end up losing the finals. And then they ran it back with KD, and since, for 2 years, they've been unbeatable. And yes, I realize 7 games in the West last year in the West Finals. I realize this year they have seemingly been very up and down. Not seemingly, they have been very up and down. But
when it's mattered most for the last 2 years, before this season at least, they've been unbeatable with KD, and that is when the deck was stacked. It's 12 DAs of Christmas time. And for those that are the uninitiated, we go back over the 12 greatest moments of the DA show's 2018 year. Every single year we do this. Last 2 days, we've done the first teams out. And now the countdown officially begins with number 12.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
Tired of it, man. I want good football, DA. I want good football. You know I love this team.
These two guys. C students, we want these two bozos.
Hey, he got a welfare fraudulent.
Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is. I would smoke it, and then, of course, finish with some lemon zest.
So, what happens if I don't have a smoker?
Of course, you could just go to your neighbor's place. As they're burning up some growth, you know, from the winter, then just put it on top of that.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
I definitely would have.
I am a big boy.
Guys, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's the hair!
Yay!
It's the hair! I haven't seen her!
That's her!
Yay!
What a ball of joy you are.
Big boy.
That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheers!
January the 11th, Kirk Ferentz's Iowa head coach, his house and his neighbors under siege. His neighbors have a lawsuit against him saying he's a terrible neighbor because there's all types of wildlife and stuff going wrong on their yards from his yard.
Number 12.
Wait, what about the trees? Now we're bringing in trees to Kirk Ferentz? Can't have trees on the road?
And wouldn't the gravel be easier on the deer's feet as well? Is it deer's or die?
Well, it's definitely not die. Multiple deer is not die. It's just deer.
Like mooses and moose and mice.
You think it's my?
Mice. Something. But all right, anyway.
You thought multiple deer were die. Like that's a group of die there.
Or like they call, maybe that's what they call the pride of them. You know, the pack.
The pride of what?
The pride is like a group of animals.
Yeah.
They call them like the die.
That's only a group.
I don't know where I heard that
from. It's only a group of lions.
They're called die?
No.
I'm confused now, but anyway.
They're called a pride of lions.
Yeah, so that's only lions, not every animal.
Correct.
All right. I thought I heard die was a group of deer at some point.
Die.
My God.
It's deers then? It's a bunch of deers?
Just deer, no S. Just deer.
So a
deer.
Single deer and two deer are both deer.
That's right.
Okay. Oh.
So what Roman numeral would the six deer be?
Six die.
I'll say this again. It is a miracle we get this show on the air. It's a miracle. Josh tweets in, either Mraz is the dumbest person I've ever heard or plays an amazing character. Whatever it is, it's working. Hashtag puffiness with sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
Hashtag pride of die. And then in the break, we were all like, come on. And Bogish actually came in here, didn't even have an update, and said, I don't even believe this anymore. In other words, like, how can anybody be that stupid? And Mraz said, come on. And I said, you really thought multiple deer were called a pride? And he said, yeah, like pride of the Yankees.
Multiple Yankees.
You think that that's the reference, that pride of the Yankees means a group of Yankees.
In doing a little research,
uh-huh.
I'm gathering, it's like when they say pinstripe pride, you know, it's like you're proud to be a Yankee.
Right.
But when I hear pride of the Yankees, what is it? Proud of the Yankees doesn't make any sense. So I took that as like the group of Yankees.
Well, you can hold pride in being a Yankee. That's the pride of being a Yankee, the pride of the Yankees.
Gotcha.
Okay. But you thought it was like that's what you call the team. Like, oh, there goes the pride of the
Yankees. Or like a group of somebody. Like if five Phillies walk into a bar, you go, that's the pride of the Phillies right
that's
there.
That's the pride of the Phillies. Right. So five hobos walk out of the subway platform. That's the pride of the hobos
pride
right there.
Pride of the hobos.
January the 11th, number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Craig tweets in, DA, how about these? A shrewdness of apes, a cauldron of bats, a gang of buffalo, a pace of donkeys. Hashtag I hate English. So does Mraz. Dixieland Dan sends me a small list from Wikipedia. A mustering of storks. A deceit of lapwings. I don't even know what a lapwing is. A stand of flamingos, a streak of tigers, a prickle of porcupines, a bloat of hippos, a tower of giraffes, and a gang of elk. I don't even know if I believe this. And Senor Pantleg tweets, interestingly enough, when enough Yankee fans get together, they're called a bunch of a-holes. 33 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back here on the show.
Your win's news time is at the tone it will be.
Oh, the D-Aliens, you guys are funny. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line including, how did Mike Locksley get hired again? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
Give me a quarterback, please. Wentz, Mahomes, all these teams turning around. We got a fossil sitting there. Like he's at the Museum of Natural Damn History. Tired of it, man. I'm on no sleep all week. And this crap happens year after year after year.
You're actually crying.
Tired of it, man. I want good football, DA. I want good football.
One of the great moments of the DA show's year, Mraz melting down a couple of months ago in the middle of another lost Giants season. A reminder that all 12 DAs of Christmas are going to be available on YouTube as we release them. So the first two out are on YouTube right now. Look for them as number 13 and number 14. And today's Pride of Die, number 12, available on YouTube for your listening pleasure. And also, Mraz, dessert coordinator Brad Heller joins us on this week's PGP. His maiden voyage, his debut in the PGP this week, he had a wonderful idea. He said, why don't you string all of the DAs together for one podcast? And so an end-of-the-year podcast with all 12 moments so that we can kind of ceremoniously listen to them for our listeners, listen to them in real time, back to back to back and a belly to belly to belly.
You know why I like that idea? We didn't do the same concept, but there used to be a thing called the best of shows. We would run on holidays.
Right.
Our old boss is no longer with us. I guess he's on the planet, no longer with the station.
On the planet. He's alive, everybody.
He's alive.
He took another job. Okay.
So the new boss would not like to do the best of shows. So now we have live programming all the time during the holidays. But during those best of shows, I would basically string together the 12 DAs throughout the 4 hours or 3 hour show that we did. So since that outlet is no longer there, maybe that is a good idea to put them all together in the podcast. And considering all the audio is pulled, I'd consider that easy work, so I wouldn't complain about it.
You see that? Because our most downloaded podcast of the year was the 5-year anniversary special that we did back in July. This should be akin to that. One download, all 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas, perhaps even the first two teams out, and then you just rattle through the countdown. How awesome would that podcast be?
You have Alexa play it, let's say Christmas Eve. You have everybody over, and that's just playing in the background while you're sitting there picking at your seven fishes or whatever. Everybody's just laughing, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
On the ever-emerging CBS Sports Radio Network.
By the way, if you have Alexa or Echo or another one of those voice-modulated devices, You can simply say, listen to CBS Sports Radio, and you'll get the DA show. That's all you have to say. Alexa, listen to CBS Sports Radio.
I believe that only works with Alexa. I don't believe that works with Echo.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Something with the radio.com deal, but that's for the Business Insider part of it.
Okay. All right. If you have Alexa, this works.
Yes.
Ask Alexa for CBS Sports Radio. So for Christmas, if perhaps you're buying an Alexa for somebody, you can simply voice command, listen to CBS Sports Radio. I don't think it's, if you listen, you can't say Alexa, listen to the DA show, I don't think.
No, Alexa, play CBS Sports Radio.
Boom.
CBS.
You've got
exactly.
It. Yeah, okay. All right, good deal. Let's get to your cut line. Here's the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
I can't believe Mike Locksley got another head coaching job, let alone in a Power Five. Locksley rehabilitated his image as offensive coordinator with Alabama. And look, that offense has been explosive. Tua has been amazing. With this little bump, he's also winning the Broyles Award, great assistant coach. He was named Maryland's head football coach after the crazy saga surrounding DJ Durkin and the passing, the death of Jordan McNair and all the controversy at Maryland. So Mike Locksley has a history there. He was an offensive coordinator for 3 years and also a running backs coach before that. So he has history with the organization, with the program, with the recruiting, etc. Okay, fine. But do you realize how bad Mike Locksley was as the head coach at New Mexico? It's impossible to actually put into words how bad he was at New Mexico. He went 2-26 and had multiple scandals and was suspended by the school. In the spring of 2009, Mike Locksley slapped with an age and sex discrimination complaint by an administrative assistant. She claimed that Locksley told her he wanted younger women. That claim, several months later, he was also accused of punching his assistant coach, J.B. Gerald, in the face. He was suspended by the school for 10 days without pay. The guy he punched got a settlement. He also confronted a student reporter at a local bar and shouted profanities about the media. Right before he was fired by New Mexico, a friend of his son was charged with suspicion of driving while intoxicated in a car that was registered to Mike Locksley's son and Mike Locksley's wife, and the friend was 19 years old, and again, he went 2-26! I can't believe Locksley got another job. I mean, I don't know. I guess good for him. This is a little bit like Matt Millen getting another job after the Detroit Lions. I guess.
Good for her. God bless.
I mean, I don't know. I realize he's got history in Maryland, but his only head coaching job ever, he lost 26 of 28 games and had numerous scandals and was suspended by his school without pay. And that was at New Mexico. New Mexico. A woman of the church. It's New Mexico. Whose fault is that? And now he's going to get a Power Five job. I mean, as we like to say around here, good luck with all that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Kelly Bryant is going to transfer now to become the starting quarterback at Missouri. Kelly Bryant, of course, the starting quarterback at Clemson following the unbelievable run of Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bryant took over starting quarterback last year, led them to a playoff, but played terribly in that playoff game against Alabama. And then this year lost his job to Trevor Lawrence. Dabo Swinney made the right call going to Trevor Lawrence in this case. We see how explosive that offense is. But for Kelly Bryant, this is a really good pickup by Missouri. And, you know, you think about it, Missouri with Gary Pinkel was consistently near the top of the Big 12. Then they transfer over to the SEC, if you will. They end up realigning in the SEC. They go to the SEC championship game, and then they lose Pinkel, and you think it's all going to kind of collapse around them. They're not a great team right now, but they've now developed a couple of starting quarterbacks over this tenure. Chase Daniel, Blaine Gabbert. Gabbert's been terrible in the NFL. Drew Locke is now going to come out and be an NFL quarterback likely in the draft. And now Kelly Bryant's going to go there. So I think what you're seeing is Missouri has built up a reputation of developing NFL-esque quarterbacks. And this really helps them there. And this goes all the way back to Gary Pinkel completely reinvigorating that program and putting it where it is right now. This is a good pickup for the Missouri Tigers next season.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line. All right, time now for your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Dan in Indianapolis asks, DA, what do you think about trading Markelle Fultz right now by the Sixers? This TOS thing seems very bad. Should they just trade him and dump him? The answer is no, they should not, because they're not going to get nearly what they've invested in him. They've traded away a number one draft pick, a first-round draft pick. They took him number one overall in a draft where Jason Tatum went number three and other very good players came out last year. Trading him now for a bit player, a role player, an aging veteran? No. Why? Like I said before, let him rehab off of this whenever he gets healthy, physically healthy, if we even believe it's TOS, but who knows. Then let him go to the G League and reinvigorate himself, rectify his confidence, build himself back up so that maybe he can contend and compete with an NBA roster. And if he blows up the G League and he's great, then you can trade him for more. But trading him now, I mean, he's just broken goods. It's like dropping a lamp on the floor and then saying, here, you want to buy this broken lamp? You know, just wait, glue it back together, try to get something more when it's all one piece, but trying to sell a broken lamp, you're going to get nothing for it. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And somehow, Pride of Die becomes trying to figure out animal names, which turns into Murder, She Wrote, the 1990s dance song. I don't know.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Dixieland Dan tweets, we're going to blow Mraz's mind right here, right now. A group of crows, like a bunch of crows together, is called a murder of crows. Mraz, did you know that a group of crows is a murder?
No, but all I'm hearing is that song, Murder of Crows.
Murder, she wrote. Murder, she wrote.
Murder of Crows.
What?
Well, it's Murder, She Wrote.
But what if you did it to, you know, the crows?
Yeah.
Robbie, take that one. Murder of Crows.
Murder, she wrote.
Mraz, do you even know what Parliament is?
A cigarette and a funk group.
Okay. Well, you know what? Bilotti's not wrong.
No, he's
two of the three.
It's a homonym because we have more than one meaning.
That's right.
It's the last two of three.
Yes, exactly. You missed the obvious one. And any other usage of Parliament?
The movie company?
No, 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 no!
That's Paramount.
We're starting on next year's list right now.
Oh, wait. Is it the English Congress?
Yes!
What?
I didn't realize that. They stand outside Buchanan's palace. The place.
No, no, no. Do you mean the guards?
Yeah, the guards. They guard the parliament.
Okay.
Murder of crows. Murder of crows. And by the way, that's England. In America, the first two uses are cigarettes and the funk group. So don't tell me I missed number one.
What made America the greatest country in the world?
And a group of owls.
Right. So look how many. That is a homonym. That's exactly what we were talking about. Two shows connect to one.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bilotti just pointed this out to me during that epic fail. Mraz called it Buchanan's Palace.
It's Buckingham Palace. I missed that the first time around. Mraz thinks it's where former cornerback Philip Buchanan's big house is. That's Buchanan's Palace over there.
It's right next to Brewster's Millions over on the lot.
You know the stately Buchanan's Palace right there in London? The giant stately clock known as Big Bill, you know, right next to Buchanan's Palace.
It's Big Ben.
Buchanan's Palace, a must go to with Mraz's travel series done for the day. Also, new reality show coming to Bravo. Your toll-free line brought to you, as always, by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Buchanan's Palace of Buchanan. It's like a 1990s Disney sitcom, Buchanan's Palace. Thanks to Mraz, thanks to Bilotti, thanks to Sam Rubinoff, and Bogish on your headlines, the Mothership Disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.